I'm starting now this exam prep lecture, and I'm trying to record for the guys at home, so I might not walk around quite as much as I would normally do. So John is here as well, yeah. And really, this is not given any hints, just in case anybody came because you thought I was going to tell you what was on the exam paper. I'm sorry, I never do. I don't, John never does either. We never give hints about what might come up. So if you think, you know, either in the lectures that follow or our very last revision session at the end, we'll do a second one. If you think you're being given a hint, you're not being given a hint, because we don't do that. But we're going to talk, there's a little change this year in what we allow for bringing into the exam. So partly that's why we're having this lecture. And the other reason is that I've been getting quite a few questions from people asking, how can I prepare? How can I catch up? How can I do better? So the other reason that I'm given this, that we're given this, is so that we can help people who had those questions. So this is okay. So this is just what we've got here with the okay. This is just okay. So everyone knows this, I think, at this point. We have two courseworks, 20 present each, and the exam is worth 60, so you really want to be trying to get a good mark on that exam if you can. You've done one of the coursework already, and the next one is coming out today. Now, quizzes are great for practice and self-testing. I will do another round of all the quizzes, as you know, at the end. I'll put them all back up again. But they're a good way of kind of practicing or learning how much you know at this point, especially if we do a second round and you try to answer some without using your notes. But there's a lot of other things, but they don't contribute to the mark for the course. What's going to go the exam itself, I would say, is first of all, it's going to be a notes permitted exam, but that's very limited in what it means. It means one sheet of A4. So it's not a lot. What you should be doing with that, I've got a little slide about it at the end, is maybe in the next week or two, start thinking about what you would want on your sheet of A4. What's the things that you have difficulty remembering on the fly? If there's something that has helped you a good few times, to have that written on your sheet. You don't have to have the same sheet. Everyone has their own definition of the sheet. You make your own sheet, both sides of A4, and you're allowed to take only that into the exam hall. And some students who have special circumstances around vision might be allowed to take a little bit more pages. What else? No magnifying glass, guys. Just to be aware of it. Because I think that's the, you know, that would offer great potential, but it's not possible. The exam is focused on the theoretical side. So it's mostly about theoretical stuff. You might be given pseudocode, and we might ask you, here's some pseudocode, give us the worst case running time and show us why you think it's that running time, argue it. In other cases, we might want you to write a bit of pseudocode. In those cases, we wouldn't be thinking about syntax. So we might sometimes have little sections of Python in the exam, but we wouldn't be giving you a whole big Python program. Snippets, you know, 5 or 6 lines or something like that. Nothing too huge, and asked to interpret what it does. So we have a balance of questions, really, in terms of, we have some worked examples. That's a good thing, you know, especially if you're feeling a little bit, you don't feel totally confident yet for the exam. One thing that you can really practice well for is doing the worked examples. And if you're doing that, we ask you to do it with our algorithms as we gave them to you in our course. Because one of the things about doing algorithms and data structures is there's a massive amount of content on the web. But when we ask you for a worked example in an exam, we will mean a worked example with regard to the pseudocode we used. So it's really worth your while, especially if you're somebody who sometimes finds some of our topics difficult. It can be really worth your while to really put in the effort of getting good at doing worked examples with our algorithms, the ones we did on the slides for this course. There will be also some proofs, you know, of the proofs that we did in this class. There will be some unseen problem solving. So, you know, that's a little bit like perhaps some of the tutorial questions have that in them already, right? Where you get something a little bit novel and you're asked to think about how to solve it, or you're asked about how to prove something. They might be, on the ones on the exam, might be a little bit easier than the ones you've seen of that kind on the tutorial sheet, just because you're getting it in an exam setting and you're having to think on the spot. But there can be, you know, small pieces of questions that are tough enough on the exam as well. So that's what the exam is like. Some kind of reasoning about the algorithms you've seen, some proof, some worked examples, and some maybe unseen problem solving, bits of unseen problem solving. That's what's going to be on the exam. And we've got, two halves to the exam. So the part A is you have to do them all. And they're usually a bit shorter. They're worth 10 marks each. So there wouldn't be as much kind of perhaps new problem solving in those, perhaps. Yeah, from that perspective. They're shorter. Each of them has to be done. What that tells you straight away is in your exam prep, you need to be kind of trying to cover really most of the course if you're going to do well. So it's, you know, because you really have to do well in part A, you're going to need to have most of the material under your belts. Then in part B, we've got three questions and you can pick two, your choice, and do the two you prefer. They can sometimes have a little bit more challenging bits, or maybe they're less on one topic and maybe a small bit more broad. But we will, overall, the exam as a whole, we will reasonably distribute it according to semesters, according to topics. You're not going to show up to the exam, you know, and have five part A's all on dynamic programming, for example. You know, it's not going to happen, obviously. We want to test the syllabus fairly well. Yeah. That's the structure. The short answer to what you should know is all of the lecture slides and videos, except for a few bits that John says are not examinable in his... Is that accurate? And they're very clearly mentioned. You say, this slide is not examinable. People sometimes get a little bit worried about, you know, which book they should read from, or do they need to read both CLRS or AI, and what about the topics where there's no book? If you were really super comfortable with everything in the slides, including proofs, and you really felt you had them down pat, you don't need any book at all. But a lot of people like to read stuff that is a bit more fleshed out. I know, like, in particular, CLRS is kind of American style. It presents things a bit more slowly, and it can be quite enjoyable. They put a lot of work into it. So, you know, really the lecture slides with the tutorial sheets, if you really have those under your belt, that's all we need. Yeah, but there is books as well. Tutorials, questions, and their solutions, that's core content of this course as well. So if I develop a topic and ask something that wasn't in the slides, you know, some small proof that wasn't in the slides that relates to a topic that we've been working on, that's also part of the core content, even though it was on the tutorial sheet. You could be asked sometimes something a bit related to one of the courseworks. Again, not to write a big computer program, but if some definitions, perhaps one of the algorithms I talk about when we're discussing independent sets for the new coursework, that's part of the core content. Okay? That is what we... I have this really for people who are not in the room, okay? And it's not the kind of thing you want to really talk through, because we can find it on Open Course as well as here. So I'm just... that was semester one that I just clicked to. I guess maybe I'll say a little bit about this. Is one mentioned, people have noticed already, there's a few topics we don't really have a chapter for, and it's just because some of the material we've got doesn't fit that way well. And it's a little bit, I mean, the semester two lectures, because it's a bit more mixed, because we have all the dynamic programming, and then we have the grammars, and then we go back to doing kind of NP completeness. We're starting this afternoon at 4 o'clock, and some computability. It's a little bit more mixed. If anyone is struggling a bit with notation, I think good to open a Piazza thread and have a chat about it. I think this is something in particular that comes up a bit with dynamic programming, that the concept of dynamic programming, you know, it kind of holds across a bunch of topics, but every time you do a new algorithm, you get a bunch of new notation for that particular problem, and it takes a while to get the head around that. I think these can be good things to discuss with people. Quizzes are a good way to revise the knowledge. Okay, semester two details again, I'm just clicking through. Lecture 25 this afternoon. Okay, this I kind of have said this already, but I'll say this in a little bit more detail, is that there's a massive amount of stuff online, and I know one particular gentleman has been very popular in a couple of years when I've taught this course with his worked examples. And also, there's an awful lot that's very kind of hand-wavy, and it really gives you a nice feel for how things are at a high level. But we are doing, you know, analysis of algorithms and data structures. So for us, it's not enough for us to be high level. We also want to do the fine details and justify everything. So we've got slightly different perspective to some of these higher level topics. So while they're great, I think, sometimes at the start of a topic to kind of get, you know, an understanding for the landscape, we need also to have our technical details and our rigorous arguments. Those are really important, and that's what's going to be examined. So like I said before, we really want you to make sure you know our notation, our algorithms. I had a question a couple of weeks ago when we were doing Dijkstra, and somebody asked, like, we already have in the class two different Dijkstra algorithms. We have Dijkstra Simple and we have Heap Dijkstra. So we ourselves have two Dijkstra algorithms, but somebody on Piazza asked, well, here's another Dijkstra, would this be okay? And that was a third version of Dijkstra. And it wouldn't have been, because each of these three Dijkstra algorithms have different worst case running times that are asymptotically different. So, you know, if I was asking about Dijkstra, I would usually say which of my two I want. But I want it to be one of the two that we've seen in class. I think for other kind of concepts, it will be this, including John's, it will be the same. It's the way we present it in class. We want to see it. So please be careful with when you're, don't let your online viewing lure you into a false sense of security in terms of exam prep. Make sure that you have got yourself up to a point where you know our content very well. In particular, like, you could get yourself, if you wanted to make a, you know, you could get yourself up to a certain point by being good at doing the worked examples throughout the course. And, you know, if it's a longer, very finely detailed algorithm, usually the exam paper will put it there. If I'm looking for a worked example of something that's quite, you know, finely detailed. But it's not natural to be getting to grips with that in the middle of an exam hall. You need to have spent a bit of time on it before. So work with our algorithms and practice with them in advance, so that when you're sitting in the exam hall and you see it, you'll be like, ah, I know, you know, grand, it's this one. Okay, and maybe you have to check one or two things, but it's mostly fine and comfortable for you to work with. This is some of the stuff I said in words already. Apart from the quizzes and the tutorials, there are previous exam papers. So myself and John have been teaching this course since, is it 2019-20 or is it? I think actually it was even a year before that. We've been teaching it a long time. So the exams, nearly all the exams are ours. So you've got a good bank of exams to get a feel for what our exams look like. The May 2023 one does have some differences because Aris Felis Ratzikas was teaching my section. So he did different kinds of dynamic programming and stuff like that. So if you see something unfamiliar on the May 2023 paper, don't stress. Also, for the early years, I used to teach an extra dynamic programming problem called All Pairs Shortest Paths. And we don't teach that anymore. It was quite a hard one as well. So if you see All Pairs Shortest Paths on these, also don't stress. It's not part of our exam. We don't have solutions for last year's May exam because the ITO asked us not to publish them anymore. We were happy to release them, but we have to follow the the procedures of our own school, so we don't. But you've got loads of solutions for the other ones, yeah. So it's okay, yeah. I've got a couple more slides and then I'll let you on go. Do you want to say something? Please chip in.
Just to say, in terms of the structure and format, these exam papers are very, very, they're the same format as what you expect to get. So they're a very good indication of the kind of thing you might get. The one difference is perhaps worth mentioning, because this year we're allowing you to take in a sheet of notes, which we haven't done in the past. So you may find there's less bookwork questions in your exam than there were on previous exams. You might find a lot of previous exams questions or parts of questions that just, you know, state the definition of the formal definition of F is big O of G or something like that. There might be fewer questions like that this year in relation to last year's, but otherwise very, very good guide to what you can expect.
Yeah, I guess the typical example to that is there will not be a question this year saying state the master theorem, because I think it's going to be on an awful lot of people's sheets. So, you know, so things like that are less likely to be written as parts of exam papers. Yeah. Okay. I wrote this because of some of the questions I've been getting about people asking how to prepare. If you're behind at this point, I think there's not really a shortcut to bring you there except working through the material. If you're thinking about an individual topic and your progress on the topic, I think this might be one way you can see, you know, your strengths improving. It won't be exactly this order for everyone. Some people like understanding the derivations first and then doing the worked example. But for a lot of people, I think it looks like this. It's first understanding and then getting to a point where you can do the worked examples, especially if it's an algorithm, work the steps. And, you know, if I've input this, what will my output be? And around the same time that you could easily write a short description of the algorithm or the data structure, a bit more advanced where you've really got the notation right and you can recall it fairly well. You know, maybe not everything, but you've got a handle on that notation. You know the details of the algorithm. Next step, after you got to that point, you understand the algorithm, you can describe it fairly well, you can do worked examples. Next thing would be, can I use the definitions, work with these definitions and the fine details of the algorithm to analyze worst case running time or sometimes best case running time for there. Some of the stuff that we've seen in semester one have mathematical derivations, especially in the stuff around hashing and things like that. Am I able to run steps, but also in terms of the analysis of some of the heap algorithms, can I work the steps in those derivations and am I able to reproduce a good bit of that? It's another step. Proofs of correctness, I think, are kind of, these are always tricky, especially for greedy algorithms. For something a bit more challenging, this comes a bit later and won't always really, not everyone will always end up with,
I think the battery
ran out because it's not, sorry about that guys.
Big one somewhere.
Okay, so sometimes it can be hard for some some of the more difficult proofs of correctness to really get a handle of those. But that would be kind of really, you've got to a strong sense of understanding when you really understand it, and at the end that you're actually able to reproduce these harder proofs. So if you're trying to think about your progress in learning some of the topics, this can be a good way to kind of get a grip on how far you've come along. Can I do the worked examples? Do I know my notation? Have I got the notation right? What's the N standing for now? How many indices am I working with? What are my input parameters? What are, for dynamic programming, what do the subproblems look like and what's their indexing? Can I analyze the running time with the VGOs? And that's harder for some algorithms than others, because some are just, the analysis is more difficult. Can I do my proofs? That's how I'm understanding how much progress I'm making with the topic and in general with the course itself. So that can be a way of thinking about it. This is a mention about the notes permitted option. It's for you to decide what you want to write. And I think even if you sit down and try, maybe take a block maybe of 6 or 7 lectures as a starting point and start trying to learn that. And think about the previous slide and the progress you're making. And in doing that, you might learn what are the things that it really helped me to have as a direct lookup on my sheet of paper and fill, you know, some fraction of one side of the paper with the stuff for this topic to get a feel about how you should be filling this out. So that is something you could do, a starting point with, say, choose 6 or 7 lectures from whichever part of the course you want, and think about both improving your progress and also making the sheet, or making that part of your sheet. Okay, I'm going to let John talk, because John made some slides of his own, so I'm going to give him the mic, and after John speaks, we'll have some Q&A.
Okay. Do you want to take any questions now on what you just said?
Yeah, if anyone has a...
That while
if
I'm
anyone
up.
Has a question for me, please ask it. If anyone has a question, go for it. Does anyone have a question yet? Yeah.
You said there were solutions to the past papers. Where would we be able to find those?
So I'm being asked about solutions to the past papers. You will find a lot of them on the exam library site, especially for the May exam. They sometimes don't have the reset first solutions, but myself and John have them on open course. There's a special tab on our open course with the past
papers.
Yeah,
that's the section passing.
Except for May 2025, the solutions are with them as well. Any other questions? No, okay, I'm gonna let John talk.
Right, hardest thing about giving a lecture, don't you find? Okay.